What's going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FCN, presented by Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. We missed you yesterday. Hopefully everybody north of the border had a great Victoria Day. We are back at it here this afternoon. We are going to talk everything sports today, maybe even a little NFL here off the opening block. We got a great guest, MLB Dream of FTN Bets, is going to stop by. We're going to break down the MLB slate here today. It is Shane McClanahan Day, so it's not just going to be me pumping Shane's tires. You guys are sick and tired of me talking about Shane McClanahan, so MLB Dream is going to come in and talk about Shane McClanahan. He also has a couple other picks that he does like here for this afternoon. I got some MLB stuff for you as well. I'm starting to get a little bit of steam over at FTNBets.com when it comes to Major League Baseball. We were on a couple things last night. Paul Goldschmidt has been unbelievable. He's got a 15-game hit streak. He's the hottest hitter in baseball, really. He doesn't have the bombs, but he has the most hits and the most extra, or the most hits and the most total bases over the last 2 weeks. He had the walk-off slam last night against the Bluebirds. Max Kepler had a big day. We are on the Twins. We are also on some offense in, it was Minnesota. Houston let us down. Oh, yeah, the Phillies. The Phillies kind of rolled over Tucker Davidson last night as the Braves threw him out against the Philadelphia Phillies. One of the better teams in baseball against Southpaws this season, so something to keep an eye on. Not going to lie, the first couple weeks of the baseball season was awful. It was like loss. Here's a loss. But now we're starting to, like I said, you know, get into a bit of a groove. MLB Dream has been into a groove since opening day, so looking forward to picking his brain with some MLB picks here a little bit later on. He is hanging by. But like I said, all the picks at FTNBets.com from everybody. You get all the picks from everyone, all the sports. I've had a couple people reach out to me lately asking if it's worth it just to get the FTN betting package because the NHL is almost done. I said, yeah, it is, because NBA playoffs still going here for, you know, another round or so. And then you have not just the NHL, but you got the MLB. And before you know it, you know, NFL is going to be here. Guys are giving golf picks. We've had a lot of the golf experts from FTN on this show as well, giving tons of winners. So I do believe the betting package is worth it. You can use the promo code NHL. So the bosses know that everybody cares about the NHL, and it saves yourself a little bit of cash, 20% off. You can hang out for the month, get access to projections, tools, Discord channel, and like I said, all the picks from everybody. And, you know, if it doesn't pay off, I'm pretty confident it will, though. A lot of sharp people over at FTN. Josh Gross, too. Tennis. The guy's just like, I think in the 2 years that I've known Josh, and it's hard to link up for to get him on the show, he's like over 200 units in just tennis bets alone. Plus, he gives amazing baseball picks, NBA picks. He's got some I don't think he does PGA, but he definitely is in tune with PGA. And, of course, NFL season as well. So just like Josh alone, the package is totally worth it. But you hang out for the month. Hopefully, you earn a little bit of a profit, and you can re-up with us for sure. There's a lot to get to, as I said, on this show. We're going to talk some hockey, and we also will talk Game 4 of the Western Conference finals between the Mavericks and the Warriors. It's all over for Dallas tonight. I know George is saying to me off in the green room, it's not. It's all over for them. They just don't have an answer for this Warriors team. They're so complete. And it's not even Curry's been good. The last couple of games has been great. 30 plus points in each of the last two. But it's not so much Curry and Dre and Clay. It's the secondary pieces. Like when those guys hit the bench, Dre gets into foul trouble. They got no answer for Andrew Wiggins. They got no answer for Looney. They got no answer for Jordan Paul. They just have no answer for those three guys. And the Mavs, as I've said so many times, they've been very profitable this year and throughout the playoffs, taking their three-point props, all plus money, but they live and die by the three. They really do. The 19-point lead that they blew in game two, they did not mix it up in the third quarter. They did not slow the pace down, maybe some iso ball or move the ball around and like drive the basket, get to the line. Draymond had his fifth foul in that game. And he took a seat and Looney came over and they went on a 34-15 run in that game too. And that to me was just the writing on the wall. They didn't play to the adjustments. They didn't make any adjustments and try to switch it up a little bit. They were still just jacking up three after three after three. There's a lot of wide open threes. When you hit those, you're going to, you know, be in games or win most of them, but you can't, that just can't be your offense. And that's all I really see from Dallas. There's no drive to the basket, and it's credit to the Warriors. They really are complete. And we'll see if we get them at our shout out to Tino, because it's something that we talked about on this show. We laughed about the Warriors being 9-1 when the season started, and also 9-1 about a month and a half into the season, where they were number one on offense and number two on defense efficiency on both sides. They are super, super complete. So I got a same game parlay for you. It's from Bet365. It only pays like 6-1. I went low on some of the points. Those unfamiliar with Bet365, you can go low. You can take the points. Like, for example, Curry and Luka, these guys are like 30, 33, 34, 31 points. But you can take the low on them. And it just, you know, it lowers your odds a little bit. But we're looking for a profit. We're looking for a winner. But we will go back to the guys that have been great in this series. Andrew Wiggins, who continues to attack Luka Doncic. And then also Looney as well. Looney Tunes. Guys just finding a way to get it done. Speaking of getting it done, the Tampa Bay Lightning again last night. Are you kidding me with this team? They swept the Florida Panthers. The Panthers, yes, soft spot, obviously. It hurts. We had the Stanley Cup future on them. It's over. Done. Rip it up. It's over. A team that scored 4 goals per game in the NHL. The last team to do that was like in the mid-90s, 95, 96, 4 goals per game. They played 4 games against Tampa and they scored 3 goals. Andre Vasilevskiy, an absolute monster. Here's the numbers. I actually have it on my phone. Just bear with me. I should have them memorized by now. His last 7 games, clinching wins for the Bolts, 7 of them, Andre Vasilevskiy, 6 shutouts, 200 shots against, a save percentage of 995, 0.14 goals against average, 0.14. 0.14. It's crazy. And again, last night, I thought Florida played their best game of the series, maybe the best game of the playoffs, and they had no answer for Andre Vasilevskiy, even a couple little breaks, and they just couldn't get any of the breaks, really. I mean, they had a couple where Tampa scored 2 goals and they were called back, but I mean, is that a break? Those goals shouldn't have counted. They were illegal goals. One went off the netting and the other one, Cirelli won the faceoff with his hand. But there was a play where they dumped it in. And this is like the series in a nutshell for Florida, and obviously the power play, right? They're 1-34 or something silly like that on the power play, and they gave up the most power play goals, and the Lightning has the most power play goals. Like, that was really ultimately the difference, best place between the pipes and the special teams. But for Florida not to get a W, pretty remarkable, really. But there was a play where they dumped it in the corner, and it went off the glass, and Vasilevskiy was going behind the net, and it just like, it ricocheted off the glass and went right to the empty net, and Vasilevskiy gets in there, and it even hopped before his stick. Looked like he was going to hop over his stick, and it just slightly hit the corner of the inside of his blade and shoots into the corner of the rink. Just unbelievable stuff. You can't make it up. But the Tampa Bay Lightning in here today, as of today, the 3rd team in NHL history and 1st team to win 10 straight playoff series since the Islanders did so in 1980 to 1984, and the Canadiens did twice in 76, from 76 to 80, and 56 to 60. Vasilevskiy, 49 saves last night, the most ever in a Stanley Cup playoff game that did not go to overtime. So the guy is getting it done yet again. And here we are, the Bolts. Can they do it 3 years in a row? Very impressive. They're going to sit at home, probably on the beach, hands behind the head, feet up, chilling, drinking some bats, waiting for Carolina and New York in the 3rd round. NFL before we break. NFL stat of the day. Follow these Twitter accounts, FTN Network, FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, FTN Bets, FTN Daily Data. We got it all over at FTN. And as you see, it is powered by FTN Data. This is first read target percentage. So you see on the bottom, wide receivers with the highest percentage of their targets as the quarterback's first read. This is a really, really cool stat that can help you, certainly help you maybe a bit, I'd say, in your season-long formats, but definitely in the DFS world, definitely in the betting world. Quarterbacks, you want to know their first read. I'd like to know their first read. And how about Tua Tagovailoa? His first read, 90.6% to Jalen Waddle. Now he has Tyreek Hill on his team now, so that number will probably come back. But there's a lot of quarterbacks, or wide receivers rather, that are with quarterbacks that they're comfortable with. You're kind of seeing that around the league, right? Tua with Waddle. We got Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts throwing footballs to Devontae Smith. Those guys threw footballs together at Bama. And then you also saw on that list Derek Carr. Oh, you didn't see Derek Carr. You saw Aaron Rodgers with Devontae Adams on that list. Now, of course, we know that Adams is now a member of the Raiders. We also played some college ball with Derek Carr. And I don't know if it's going to be 89.1% the first read for Carr to Adams, but I can guarantee you it's going to be over 80% for sure. A lot of interesting names on that list. I think the most interesting from that list was Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk being the first read for Jimmy Garoppolo, not Kittle, not Deebo Samuel. We know Deebo Samuel is like a unique wide receiver, basically a running back, taking balls out of the backfield. And that's why dude wants to get paid. He's sick of getting hit by D-backs, handing the ball off. But Jimmy Garoppolo is probably not going to be the quarterback. So who's going to be Trey Lance's first read? We'll see. But Brandon Ayuk, very undervalued in the fantasy community and the betting community overall. All right, we'll take a quick break. We got MLB Dreamin' here. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff here today. Hopefully some winners for you, some MLB picks, some props. We've got some NHL picks and some props. You're going to go over the two games this evening, Carolina and New York. We also have the Battle of Alberta continuing in Edmonton. And as I said, game four between the Warriors and the Mavericks. And a lot of prize pick stuff for you as well on Mean Streets. Lots to get to here on Game Plus Network. Keep her locked. What's going on? Welcome back in. Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network. You're streaming our FTN YouTube page. Smash that like button. We do have the streaming situation figured out. No buffering. Fingers crossed. Our guy George figured it all out for us. But if you have any MLB questions, now is the time to get them in for MLB Dream. And if you're watching the replay, you can leave the comment there, the question there, or you can follow MLB Dream on the Twitter machine as well. And he's also not only just a good follower, but we'll get back to you on some of the questions and absolutely crushing it. Adam Rankamp in the house, just tuning in. What's up? Here for the NHL and the MLB picks. MLB Dream, welcome in, man. How's things?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. I'll be honest, I'm a little nervous about George freaking me out here with some of those sound effects in the headset. But other than that, doing well.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, it's almost like you guys had that one planned. Yeah, last week when we made the switch to the streaming platforms, this is a different one. He found all these sound effects, and it honestly scared the crap out of me the first time I heard like some screaming in the background. It's like, whoa, what the heck is that? What's going on here? So you never know when the sound effects are going to pop off and happen. Dude, you've been crushing it. I love it, man. The content is great. FTMBets.com, plugged it off the top. You get all the picks from everybody across all of the sports. You are on the positive side of things, so that's pretty good. I feel like at this point of the season, you want to start to pick up steam, right? I mean, you get 6 to 8 weeks into the season, you know, hot streaks, cold streaks, but now you're starting to get a bit of a feel with some of these teams, some of these pitchers. I know you're always talking, you know, I see you tweeting about like velocity and certain guys' pitch counts and, you know, things that are maybe changing from the first couple starts. You have a prop later on that we'll get to, but there's a couple intriguing games here today on the slate. There's this one I'm going to start with you, Milwaukee and San Diego. I think you and I both are big Brewers guys. We do like this Milwaukee team. We got Corbin Burnes on the bump for the Brew Crew in San Diego against Blake Snell. Overall, this is a game that, you know, from a total standpoint, Vegas not expecting a lot of runs with both of these guys on the hill. What do we got? That's not correct. Yeah, six and a half is what I thought originally that it was as well. And then we have Milwaukee here as road favorites, live odds at -130 that you can get over at DraftKings in San Diego, +115 over at BetMGM. Free prop shop, parlay calculator, your friends here. What do you make of this contest? What do you make of this matchup?
Yeah, man, I mean, like you mentioned, we're both kind of big on the Brewers this year. I'm almost hoping that the Cardinals catch up to them in the Central, maybe give me another chance to bet the Brewers to win the Central again. But they're still leading the Central. I think they're up by two. The Brewers have lost two in a row, and the Padres are coming in pretty hot. They swept the Giants over the weekend, won 8 of 10 and 5 in a row. But tonight they get to face Corbin Burnes, who, you know, the reigning Cy Young champ. Don't really have to go too deep into some of his stats, but he has the second-best ERA in baseball. His swinging strike percentage and K percentage are even higher than they were last year. So when you're looking at kind of the hitting side, the Brewers are only 20th first righties in terms of WRC+. But this is only Snell's second start of the season. He, I think, got scratched from his first start and did a couple minor league rehabs appearances. He didn't make it out of the fourth inning in his first start. I think he threw over 80 pitches. So he's built up to go 85 or 90, but he simply just wasn't sharp. Brewers do have the hitting advantage here. The Padres have the eighth lowest WRC+ versus righties. Both teams average around 4.5 games this season. But I think the biggest difference here is the bullpen. The Brewers also have the third best bullpen in baseball, and the Padres come in around middle of the pack, 13th or 14th, I think. So starting pitching advantage, Brewers, hitting advantage, Brewers, bullpen advantage, Brewers. Give me the Brewers at -129.
Yeah, I love it. Blake Snell, man, I don't know. People, I think a couple of years ago, super obsessed with him. Of course, he had the Cy Young season, but he just doesn't go deep into ball games, and I find he struggles with command, and that kind of gets him in trouble, right? So then, you know, if they get to him early on, and they have some bats in the Brewers lineup that can hit lefties. I don't know. We don't have the lineup out here yet, but there's certainly a couple guys that that could hit lefties. Is Hunter Renfroe, is something going on with him? Is he hurt? Like, what's the
deal? I think he is. I think he got pulled from the game on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm not sure if he'll actually be in there today. I need to look at the projections to see.
Yeah, he's not projected to be in the lineup, dude. But he is scheduled for, that's not a good sign that he's scheduled for an MRI here today. So he did get pulled late last night, and he's dealing with a hammy. That's one guy that I usually look at actually when he's up against a lefty. So we're on the Brew Crew. Yeah, we have futures on them, both of us. We like Milwaukee continuing to ride things out here. George says, oh, smoking the Yankees last night, huh? Man, Jordan Lyles kind of had, you know, he's had some moments here with the Orioles. Nobody's allowed more bombs than him since the start of 2020. Last year, a league high, I think, 38. He's had some struggles on the road. Last time you were on, we talked about, you know, Pitcher's Park now at Camden. He went into Yankee Stadium. Got the boys swinging and missing, and Baltimore's got some kids now in the lineup, man. What do you make so far of Baltimore's start to the season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you would ask the Orioles front office before the season started, they wouldn't have cared if Lyles would have had an ERA over six. They just want him out there to eat, you know, 180, 200 innings, so a lot of these kids don't end up getting overworked. But, man, he's been a pleasant surprise, and like you said, the pitcher's park in Baltimore is definitely helping him out. We're starting to see, you know, the Orioles, some of the players that they've developed, even some of the lesser prospects come up and do pretty well at the major league level. And now is the exciting part for us O's fans, where like these uber great prospects are pretty much on the cusp of being called up. And we saw with Adley Rutschman. So it's kind of an exciting time to be an Orioles fan. I mean, we're still looking at, you know, finishing 20 games under 500, probably something like that. But it's fun to see these young guys have success and us, you know, the Orioles performing well at the minor league level as well.
Yeah, Rutschman, I mean, what do you make so far of him at the plate? I mean, he looks so cool, calm, collected, like a little veteran out there already.
No, he really does. And I think his first, I don't know how many pitches it was, whether it was 13 or 18 pitches, but he really worked Gerrit Cole. I mean, he didn't get a hit in either of the first two at-bats, but you can see him up there. He knows his zone, obviously being a great defensive catcher that he is. And he made Cole work for everything. And it's great to finally see him up here. And, you know, I'm glad they're done manipulating his service time and looking forward to seeing him in Baltimore.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, another guy that I like who just returned to the lineup is Mountcastle. Like, I really like his game. Like, he's got some pop in his bat. He's been pretty cheap on in DFS as well. And, you know, hitting in a good spot in that order, George. They have bats, question mark. Now that the Red Sox are starting to come around, George is getting a little bit chirpier. You know, he can say things now.
I mean, they've always had a bunch of, not always, but they had a bunch of solid bats last year, a bunch of young guys. Really, they're pitching. But, I mean, like you mentioned, Mountcastle, they have Hayes, Santander. I mean, they have Mullins. They have a handful of guys that can hit pretty well.
Yeah, they do. All right, what's another game that you're looking at here today? We'll save the prop that you have. You have a pitching prop. I kind of teased it off the top of the show. But what's another game that you're looking at here? You find an edge somewhere on the slate.
Going to Arizona. They're facing the Royals. I'm actually kind of surprised to see the Diamondbacks at 500. Expect that. Not really as surprised to see the Royals with 14 wins this season. But Zach Allen's taking the mound for the Diamondbacks, and he's been amazing this season. He has the best ERA in baseball at 1.14. That's minimum 30 innings pitched. Second lowest expected ERA, 97th percentile in expected ERA, expected batting average, and expected WOBA. So, I mean, man, he's been pretty amazing, and he's been a guy I've been riding lately here this season. The D-backs are 4% below average versus righties with a 96 WRC plus, but they've been much better this month. They have a 119 WRC plus versus righties, which is tied, I think, for seventh best. And they also have hit the second most home runs in baseball this month with 24. So the offense is kind of waking up. The Royals have a guy on the mound by the name of Heasley. He's only thrown 48 innings above AA, and he hasn't looked that good in his limited major league starts. I think this is going to be his third major league start. He has 7 walks and only 2 strikeouts with an expected ERA over 6. Now, again, that's a small sample, but he hasn't looked good so far. The Royals have the 10th worst WRC plus versus righties at 91. They're hitting better this month as well at 105. And these are two bullpens I really want to stay away from. So I went ahead and bet the Diamondbacks first 5 run line at -128, -130, something like that. There it is, -128.
Zach Gallen's been phenomenal. I don't want to take too many shots over at Fantasy Pros, but I saw them tweet out last week like a graphic of buy low candidates, and they had Zach Gallen on there. And I was like, wait a minute. Did you guys mean to say sell high candidates? Because Zach Gallen has been absolutely phenomenal. And dude, he's just been really good since he's been in the majors, right? I mean, he is he's limited the damage. I clearly, you know, what he's doing, I think, is a little bit unsustainable, but really good matchup from today. As you mentioned, the Royals can't hit. And also, this lineup's a little bit different without Salvador Perez in it, right? Like, this is a lineup that you can certainly attack. I mean, Bobby Witt is starting to hit a bit of a stride, but other than that, is there any guys that you're really afraid of inside this lineup? Like, Whit Merrifield's a decent hitter, but, you know, Benintendi, George knows all about Andrew Benintendi, but everybody else, like Hunter Dozier, okay. Carlos Santana's a little bit past the hill now. Like, there's not a lot of great bats in this lineup that can really give Zach Gallen issues, I don't think.
They have some pop. Their lineup is definitely better than their pitching staff. But, I mean, like you said, Gallen has been great pretty much ever since he's come up. I think he got what they acquired him from the Marlins and the Jazz Chisholm trade.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he's healthy, he's been great. It's pretty much just been a couple injury concerns here and there.
Yeah, it has been for sure. Okay. Talk to me about Shane McClanahan, because it's just usually me talking about Shane McClanahan and all the comments last week. Like, dude, stop talking about Shane McClanahan. Actually, the last time I pumped his tires, he didn't hit the strikeout prop. He didn't get to where he needed to be. But, man, this guy's been pretty darn good all year long.
I think I was actually with you on that last. Was it against the Mariners that he didn't hit? Just fell short. But, yeah, he's only struck out less than seven once this season. I mean, he has the second highest strikeout percentage in baseball at almost 37%, second highest swinging strike percentage behind Corbin Burns, second best Z contact percentage, which is the percentage of contact made on pitches inside the zone. So even when he's throwing strikes, hitters are having trouble making contact. And he has the best called strikes plus whiff percentage in baseball. So the guy just fills up the strike zone. Now, when we move over to the hitting side, the Marlins have the highest strikeout percentage in baseball versus lefties at almost 31%. Overall, they have the third highest chase rate in baseball, the fourth highest whiff, fifth highest swinging strike percentage, and the fourth highest called strike plus whiff. So this is pretty much a perfect situation for McClanahan. Let's just hope that we have an umpire that's, giving him a few calls and not so much of a tight zone here.
Yeah, that would be key. Yeah, I knew you were going to come in with all the numbers, but pretty spectacular, right? The swinging strike percentage at 17.4, Corbin Burns at 17.9. You mentioned just the overall strike percentage on Shane McClanahan as well. Second behind, you guessed it, Corbin Burns, right? At 36.7%. Actually, it's Dylan Cease who's moved up at 36.8%. Corbin Burns is there inside the top five as well. A couple interesting arms in there, like Nestor Cortes is a guy, you know, we talked to the Yankees earlier, but he's been a guy that's been really, really good. Yeah, former Oriole. Free in drafts. I know a few of us over at FTNFantasy.com, Vlad Sandler came out with an article, and there's, I think, four or five of us is like a guy that you could get outside the top 300 picks that could certainly help you out in your fantasy drafts, and he's done nothing but help you out in that situation as well. And then the K per nine from Shane McClanahan, sitting there at 12.63. That is a number two in baseball as well. This guy is absolutely legit, man. He's really good. He doesn't go too deep into ball games. I mean, the last two have been seven innings, but I noticed that he's kind of cleaned up the walks a little bit, which has helped him out. But when you're getting so many swing and misses and you get seven strikeouts, 11, 5, 11, like you said, he's hit the seven mark in every start but one. You know, you're not going to go too deep into ball games in the way that the Rays kind of run the rotation. It's kind of, you're not really going to see him get into the 100 pitch mark, but the strikeouts are certainly there. Adam says if Ellie White is, if he starts, stolen base against Thor. I know that Gross likes to do this every time that Thor Syndergaard is on the bump for the Halos. He is just picking guys to steal against Thor. I mean, I get it. It's not something I would do as like a full unit. Maybe like the odds are crazy for stolen bases, like a 0.25. He does have eight stolen bases on the season. Do you have anything to add to that? Like, I never bet stolen bases, but Adam seems to be on it today.
Honestly, I don't look that much into hitting props in general, but I do see he has eight stolen bases in 31 games. It all depends on the price. But yeah, you mentioned it. Thor is, I think, one of the slowest pitchers to the mound, and I'm guessing that the catcher isn't that great at throwing runners out. But, I mean, I'd have to know a number here. But, yeah, it's probably worth a sprinkle. I'd have to look at the other Rangers stolen base numbers and see if he's probably if he's the best option or not. I do see his on base percentage is below 300 though, so I think he'll have a tough time getting on base. But yeah, if he does, he probably should have a good chance of stealing a bag.
Yeah, there's not a lot of guys in that you know that Texas lineup really. I mean, Semien Seager, these aren't like speedy dudes. Semien, I guess, like he's known to steal a few bags in his day, more so back with Oakland than the past couple of seasons. But yeah, Adam, I don't mind it. I don't hate it, but I think there's some better spots on the board. We will talk a little bit later on about a few more MLB props that I like. I was going to pick on Kyle Murray's guy from Detroit. We got Bo Brisky on the bump for the Tigers. I thought he was going to go yesterday. I thought they were going to go with Elvin. Well, they did. They started off with Elvin Rodriguez. I thought he was just going to open up, and then they were going to go to Bo. And I was just like, I loved the Twins yesterday. Got lucky with the run total at 4.5, like Max Kepler. But I think everything like from yesterday applies today against Bo Brisky. The guy just gives up fly balls and home runs. Were the Twins at all a team that you were considering? They're massive favorites. Massive favorites. But if you could get a run total at 4.5 against Bo Brisky.
Yeah, Bo Brisky's a guy that just doesn't miss any bats. His swing and strike percentage, I think, is around 5 or 6 in single digits. You know, I know I'm not a big fan of parlays. Obviously, when it comes to these kind of large favorites, if I have an edge on them, like, so today I like both the Astros and the Twins. And instead of, I guess, playing them individually on the money line and risking about 4.6, 4.7 units to win two, I went ahead and put them in a parlay. So I think that pays, I want to say it's, I don't remember the number, maybe +110 or something like that. So that's how I kind of attacked that game. And I agree with you, just like yesterday, I do like the Twins team total here. I haven't taken it yet. It's something that I'm still going to look into though.
4.5 -125. It was basically the same thing yesterday. I think we got lucky towards the end. I think they had 5 runs. We just got it. But the article that I wrote yesterday is free Diamond Data. It's already up today from Alex Blickle. A few of us, we take turns writing the article. But for Bo Brisky, you mentioned the single digit. Just let me dive into this for a second. He's got 2.39 home run per nine mark, which is obviously pretty high. It's a small sample this year, but it's the fourth highest among pitchers with 20 innings. He's allowed 7 bombs, 15 runs on 24 hits and 26 and a third innings. He's got a 6.4 swinging strike percentage. He's got an 87% contact rate. He's got a 50% fly ball rate, which is extremely high. So you got Max Kepler, who hit a bomb yesterday. He's got 5 homers off right-handed pitching. Byron Buxton has a 69% fly ball rate against righties this year, which is just crazy to think about. It's unsustainable, that mark. Well, those are two guys I'm looking at maybe to go deep against Bo Brisky. On the way out, because we have a lot of people that are watching the show north of the border in Toronto. They're Bluebirds fans. I see you tweeting out about Jose Barrios. I feel like you followed him pretty closely this season. There's been some hot and some cold with him, man. Like career low in terms of strikeout percentage, swinging strike percentage, high in terms of barrel rate as well. He's really kind of just struggled, I feel like, overall. What do you make of him? Do you feel like he could turn it around? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, he's definitely a guy I followed even when he was with the Twins in their minor league system, was kind of waiting for him to be called up. And honestly, he was one of those guys that was waiting to kind of take that next step. It seems like almost every year I thought he was going to be one of the elite pitchers in the league. We're not necessarily seeing that, but he's been a good to great pitcher over the last few years. Thanks to Frank Brank, who's also over at FTN, he provided me with some stats on the pitchers that are getting the most barreled outs. Because from watching the Barrios a bunch, it seemed like every time he was getting barreled and it would just die at the warning track thanks to these new balls. So he's been someone that's greatly benefited from these kind of dead balls. But over the last couple starts, I haven't looked into the complete numbers from last night, but instead of his fastball, Barrios has been featuring his curveball more. And I noticed he's been getting a bunch of called strikes with it. So, I mean, the hitters just aren't anticipating that pitch coming in, and he's been fooling some guys. And, you know, the Blue Jays, we saw them do it with Robbie Ray last year. We've kind of seen him do it with Kikuchi again this year, who's been great after a horrible start. They're a really sharp organization. They know what they're doing when it comes to pitching. So I'm pretty confident that they'll find a way to turn these guys around by having them feature their better pitches. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing with Barrios. And it's definitely what we've been seeing with Kikuchi over his last like 3 or 4 starts.
Yeah, good call. I mean, You're right. I mean, the Blue Jays organization, their pitching staff does have a bit of a history over the past couple of years of doing these sort of things. But yeah, heading into yesterday wasn't great. I mean, career low 6.15 K per nine, 15 strikeout percentage, 7.9 swinging strike percentage, 48 hits allowed in 41 innings, an 83% contact rate, and a 12.8% barrel rate, which was the seventh highest. But I'm just looking at his numbers yesterday. I didn't dive into them too deeply as well after last night's start, but for the better. A lot of those numbers that I just gave, they're slightly better.
Honestly,
slightly
it looks
higher
like his
swinging strike percentage.
It looks like his best start of the season. Highest, most strikeouts. His deepest outing, lowest Sierra. So, yeah, I mean, he looks like he's turning it around, and he's definitely got to keep an eye on. Let's hope the contact, he doesn't keep getting barreled up, though.
Yeah, 11%. So didn't get barreled up as much. It kind of turned in the right direction for him. But yeah, 6 1/3 last night, 3 earned runs, 1 homer, 7 strikeouts, the most that he's had this season in a start. And, you know, it's positive. The start before that against Seattle is really good too. 7 scoreless. So I do believe he's still a buy low candidate if you can get him. I wouldn't give up too much. I don't believe he's a big, big strikeout guy. Maybe his ceiling is like a strikeout per inning guy, a 9K per nine, but I do believe he certainly got some upside, and I also believe that he could be had in your fantasy baseball league. Dude, you're a pleasure, man. Always love chopping it up with you. We'll get you back on soon. MLB Dream on the Twitter machine. Give him a follow. His MLB picks are absolutely hot fire. Use the promo code NHL. Why not? Save yourself a little bit of cash, and then you get all the picks there. Good luck to your O's today. Good luck with all your other MLB picks. We are going to switch gears a little bit and talk some hockey. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus. Keep it locked. Welcome back in. Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network. Chris Meaney with you. Want to give a shout out to MLB Dream. Went a little long there, but it was good info. Just like chopping it up with him. I feel like I want to get him on every week, but I know he's a busy guy, but he certainly knows his baseball. So it's nice to kind of talk some buy low and sell highs and just see who he's feeling. And I really do like his picks. I mean, Zach Allen has been an absolute beast, and we love Shane McClanahan on this show. Let's switch gears and talk a little hockey. Just going to roll through these two matchups here this evening. We have let's start with the most boring one of the three, of the four actually in this series, and just two tonight. George, do you know which one it is? It's not the Battle of Alberta. Yeah, you're all over it. It's the Rangers at home -115 against the Carolina Hurricanes, checking in at -105. These odds really haven't changed a whole lot since last night and early this morning. We broke it all down. Dangle Batselli is live over at our FTN YouTube page here. You're watching. Adam says he wasn't able to check into Dangle Batselli. You can watch the replay. You can sub over at iTunes, Spotify, wherever it is you listen to your favorite podcast. And the replay of Dangle Batselli will be on Game Plus Network today at 5 Eastern as well, and on Thursday as well. Eric Young and myself, we broke it all down. We had Joe Madden on as well. The Rangers third line putting up some offensive numbers. Yeah, they are. There hasn't been a lot of offense to be had in this series. Honestly, I feel like this is also a trend that will likely continue. The under is hit in all of these games. Overall, we've seen a 2-1 game in the first matchup, and it was 1-0 late. Carolina got a goal, won in overtime, and we had a 2-0 victory from Carolina in game two. And then we had a 3-1 victory from the Rangers as well. Overall, the 5-5 play, we've seen 5 goals scored in this series. The total is at 5.5, and I like the under. It's kind of juiced a little bit, but I just feel like this is a trend that will continue here into this game. Igor Shesterkin looks like the Hart and Vezina candidate that he is after a bit of a rocky first round. Games were, I think he was pulled twice, maybe 3 times, definitely twice against the Penguins. But the last couple games, he's been hot fire. -135 to the under 5.5. Again, I do feel like it's a trend that does continue here in this series. I don't like a whole lot from this game. I know you mentioned the third line. Alexis Lafreniere has looked pretty good in this series. But overall, I mean, you get him at 1.5 shots. It's kind of juiced. I think it's okay. It's something that he's only done once in this series. Overall, the shot leaders in this series, Jacob Trouba with 8, Mika Zibanejad with 8. We got Kako with 7, Kreider with 5, Ryan Strome with 5, Lafreniere's got 4. The shot attempts, Trouba leads the way with 19, 15 with Kreider, Mika Zibanejad. I think Alexi Lafreniere is okay. He's plus money for a point. EY liked him to score a goal tonight. EY's usually all over that. I believe he was 22-1 to score the first goal. I think that's interesting as well. I just don't see a lot of offense, guys. So I don't want to just give picks for the sake of giving picks. And you guys know I don't love unders. If there were a couple Ranger guys that I would like, it would be Kreider and Mika Zibanejad on the other side for Carolina. The two leaders for them in this series in terms of shots overall is defensemen. We got Brady Shea with 18 shot attempts and Brett Pesce with 17 shot attempts. Seth Jarvis does have 17 himself. It's actually Vincent Trocheck who does lead the Hurricanes in shots in this series with 10. Svechnikov had a big game three in terms of shots, but he's been quiet in the first couple of games of this series as well. I don't see a lot of offense, so I'm just kind of shying away from it. This next series, I do believe we will see some offense. I like the over 6.5 in the Battle of Alberta continues tonight in Edmonton. What an electric atmosphere in Edmonton at Rogers Centre for game three. The Oilers came out really strong. My goodness, they looked really, really good. You see they're checking in at minus 125, minus 121, the total at 6.5, and the Flames here at plus 100. I like Calgary to bounce back. I know Sutter said earlier or after the game that maybe it was, you know, some of the younger players, new players inside the Calgary team was maybe taken back a little bit from the atmosphere. I don't believe that or buy it for a second. I think maybe he's just trying to get his guys going. Brought in Tyler Toffoli, a couple cups. Cal Yarncroc has been there before. Lucic has been there before. Who's he talking about? Which players is he talking about that hasn't, you know, had a taste of the Battle of Alberta? Andrew Mangiapane, pretty young. At top line, Calgary's got a ton of experience. Maybe not a ton of playoff experience, but they've seen the atmosphere before in Edmonton. I think we see a lot of offense. I think it's a trend that continues here. Didn't get the over in the last game, but I do believe we'll see some offense here in this one. What Connor McDavid is doing is absolutely crazy. What he is doing is crazy. I've never seen this before. He's minus 165 for 2 points tonight. 2 points. He's got at least 2 points in every single game, but one in the playoffs. He got 23 points. Through the first 10 games of the playoffs, 23 points. That's more points than five different leading scorers in the playoffs over the past 15 years. Five. Oh my goodness. What he is doing is crazy. Sometimes we don't see players get to 23, 25 points in a full playoff run. Man, I can't imagine what he could do if they went to the cup. Could he get 50 plus points? I mean, he really could. He's unstoppable right now. He really is. I got some shot props in the next segment, but I am going to go back to, because I feel like there's some goals, I want to give some assist props. For the most part, the assist props have been great. Yesterday was an off day. Not a great day overall. The Colorado Avalanche, I mean, we'd had the Avs to win. We had the Lightning to win on the puck line at plus 195. And we did have Colorado as well on the puck line in the over, but the props just didn't work out for us. The assist props, all the goals that were scored yesterday from Colorado. Shout out to Nazem Kadri too, who's just feeling the heat, just BS comments. Like, don't be that person that is given racist comments. If you're a Blues fan, I know Adam Rankamp's in the house and he said he's a Blues fan and he's not, don't group him in there with the rest of the Blues fans. Kadri, what the heat that he is getting, the chirps that he is getting, it's not warranted. It's not right. And good for him last night, because guys are taking runs at him left, right, and center, and he scored a hat trick. Unbelievable. You can't write a better script. Good for Nazem Kadri. I hate that he's going through what he's going through. I saw some of the messages that were surfaced to him and his family on Instagram. It's just absolutely atrocious. It's brutal. I hate to see it. Good on Kadri to have that hat trick. And I don't think it was on him that ran into Binnington. It was a rough play. He's been known to take a cheap shot or two. I understand the frustration for St. Louis. And they kind of got sidetracked yesterday with that, chasing him around. Take Buchnevich penalty, Perron penalty, 5-on-3, Kadri scores. I mean, like I said, you can't write a better script. St. Louis got in their own heads yesterday, and that series is over. But we didn't get some of the assist props, but I will throw a couple at you right now. Tkachuk plus 120 for an assist. Doesn't have a ton of assists in this series, but expect a big performance from the top line. And they've been strong at 5-5. The offense didn't come in the last game, but their chances were there. Probably my favorite assist prop is Johnny Gaudreau at minus 125. He was held off the score sheet in the last game, but he does have 11 assists in 10 games here in the playoffs, including five in this series alone. And he has 10 helpers in his last five games against the Edmonton Oilers. Leon Draisaitl, believe it or not, we had plus money in game one for an assist. Everybody's talking about McDavid, and warranted. He's got 9 points in three games in the series. But Leon Draisaitl has 10 points in this series. He's been an assist machine. No longer plus money for Leon Draisaitl to get an assist. He's minus 160, but I do like that number. Maybe not so much. I know it's juice, but I like him to continue to have success. Evander Kane playing with McDavid and playing with Leon Draisaitl. He is plus 155 for an assist today. And again, you're playing with those two guys have 19 points combined in the three games, you may just fall into an assist. And I know he's fresh off that hat trick. So consider some assists as these shot props start to get juiced up here as we get towards the third round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. A lot of juiced shot props. I'll throw out Elias Lindholm as well at plus 165 for an assist. So have some fun with some of these assist props in that second game, the late one, Battle of Alberta. I got some more picks. We'll dive into those shot props. I'm going to have Prize Picks play for you as well on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Let's start here with the Prize Picks play of the day. There's lots of greatness over at prizepicks.com, including the Shane McClanahan strikeout prop at 7.5, but I decided to go with this one. Oilers in Flames, just a goal in the first 8 minutes of this contest. We've seen that happen in two of the three games. In game one, we saw two Flames goals in the first minute. In game two, we saw two goals in the first 6 minutes. We had one in the first 3 minutes of that game. And then there was nothing in game three on home ice. There was a lot of chances. Jacob Markstrom was really good, by the way, in that last game. But I think we'll see some goals. I feel like that game was an outlier. This is too much offensive firepower on either side. Mike Smith was fantastic. But look at that five hole. My goodness, almost you can fit in FTN Network Mean Streets right in that five hole. You can definitely fit a puck in there. I think we'll see some goals early on and often in this game here this evening. A couple other shot props that I do like, leading with Johnny Hockey here today. Johnny Hockey's been fantastic. He's plus money for four shots. The shot attempts have definitely been there for him. Overall, from the shot standpoint, they've been there as well. He has cleared now in five straight games, every game in this series. He's got 22 shot attempts in the series and four and seven shots. Like I said, at least four shots in five straight and seven of his past eight overall. So I like Johnny Hockey to eclipse the 3.5 shot prop mark. And I like Matthew Tkachuk. Those are the two Flames that I'm really going at here. Matthew Tkachuk also has 22 shot attempts, and he has a team high 16 shots in this series. He had six shots in game three and eight in game one. He's been all over the net. I expect a very strong performance from the Calgary Flames. Both of those guys are two-unit plays for me. Zach Hyman is also a two-unit play for me at minus 149 over at Caesars. Hyman leads the Oilers with 24 shot attempts and 16 shots in this series. He had a series high four, well, he has a series high four goals and a 2.23 expected goal for rate according to Natural Stat Trick. He's been phenomenal. Guy likes to shoot the puck from everywhere, from the corner, front of the net, power play, you name it, loves to shoot the puck. And then a plus money play there. I know Connor McDavid is not on the board. I'm fine with him at 3.5. He didn't do it in the last game. He's been passing it off a little bit, but Leon Draisaitl has cleared this number in two of the three games in this series. And the one game that he didn't, he was stuck on two. He has 11 shots in three games, and you get him at plus 130. Also, a lot of those plays that I just mentioned over at prizepicks.com. Use the promo code FTN. They'll match your first deposit 100%. All the way up to $100. Refer a friend, and it's a free $25 in your Prize Picks account. We are going to switch gears again and talk some NBA. I got a same game parlay for you between the Mavs and the Warriors. Stay tuned. Welcome back in. I got a same game parlay for you. Those north of the border, Bet365. I do believe they're giving a free same game parlay out today in this matchup. It is game four between the Warriors and the Mavericks. You can get it at 6-1. As I said off the top, I'm taking the low when it comes to points. So there's an option in the same game parlay. You can take their actual point prop. You can go high, obviously increase the odds. You can go low, and that decreases the odds a little bit, but 6-1, right? We just want a winner here, but I'm taking the low. You see the player points low for Steph Curry at 21.5. He's hit 30 in back-to-back. And then I'm taking the low on Luka Doncic. He's at 40 in back-to-back at 28.5. And I'm also taking the low on Andrew Wiggins at 12.5 points. You see the threes in there for Curry and for Luka, as well as Kevon Looney. The guy, the Mavs just don't have an answer. That's the actual point prop for him at 7.5. You can take the low if you want, but I'm pretty comfortable just taking the 7.5 for Looney. Overall, that's a minus 122 play. You can get that over at FanDuel, free prop shop parlay calculator to get the best possible odds. But they've had no answer for Looney in this series. No answer. Even when Draymond goes to the floor, Looney comes out. They just don't have an answer for him. They don't have a big that can match up. He's cleared this number in all three games, 10 in game one, a career high 21 points in game two, and he had 9 points in game three. He's 17 for 23 in the series. The Mavs also don't have an answer for Andrew Wiggins, who's been very, very aggressive in this series, more so than any time I've ever seen him play basketball, honestly. Back in his Jayhawks days, he was aggressive, but this is a different aggressive Wiggins that I'm seeing, and it's most likely because he's up against Luka Doncic. They just want to wear Luka out. They're taking runs at Luka. I'm not saying dirty, but they're just driving the basketball when Luka is on the floor. And Wiggins, 27 points in game three, 16 in game two, 19 in game one. He's cleared this number in six of his last nine games. The two times that he didn't, he was stuck on 16. And he's jacking up a lot of shots, 11 for 20, 5 for 14, 8 for 17 in this series. So Andrew Wiggins is key. Luka and Steph, what can you say, right? They both cleared it in each of the last two games. Curry's averaging 4.7 threes in this series, 29 shots from beyond the arc, 5 for 10, 6 for 10 his last two games. And Luka, 29 shots from beyond the arc as well. He's going to go down swinging, 82 points in his last two games. The shot attempts will be there. The Mavs live and die by the three. That's the same game parlay. We've got one baseball prop on the way out. One more minute here on Mean Streets. Keep it locked. One more play here on the way out. It is Max Kepler over 1.5 total bases. And for him to go yard, he went yard yesterday, both plus money, plus 125 and plus 575. These home run props, I mean, I had it in the bet tracker yesterday. Thought he was going to see pitches from Bo Brisky, so he got a little lucky. It's actually Brisky who's going to be on the bump for the Tigers here today. A 2.39 home run per nine mark. And a lot of his numbers, I mean, a 50% fly ball rate, an 87% contact rate, 24 hits allowed and 26 and a third. He's allowed seven bombs. He has a 6.4 swinging strike percentage. He doesn't get a lot of swing and misses. He doesn't have that in his arsenal. And Kepler's just a guy that you want to play against righties. You never play him against lefties. He hardly even gets in the lineup against lefties, but he does have five homers against right-handed pitching and a 270 average, so it's not bad. Five of the six bombs he's had this season have been against right-handed pitching, so a really good spot for him. I like the Twins team total of 4.5. I do think that he gets some runs against Bo. Thanks for taking the time to hang out. We'll be back tomorrow. Cheers.